And so today is Wednesday, December 14th, 2022. Welcome to our research roundtable meeting. Thanks for being here. Just a quick reminder, I know we meet every 2 weeks. We're not meeting the week between Christmas and New Year's. So that means that our next meeting after this one will be Wednesday, January 11th. So I'm excited today to introduce you guys to the newest staff member of Cause of America, in case you haven't met her already. And that is Ashley Kingsley. Hey, Ashley, welcome.
Hi, guys. Good to be here. Thank you.
So I wanted to bring, you know, as I said in the email, I wanted to bring Ashley on, not only because she's, you know, getting ramped up and everything with Cause of America and learning about everything that we do and all of the people involved in our organization, but also because I wanted her to be able to hear what people are working on from a research perspective. And, you know, Ashley and I have talked over the years, right? And we had a lot of talk about research, and I was like, well, I thought you were a researcher from when I knew her before Cause America, right? And she's like, no. She's like, you do that. Your people do that. She's like, I just get the message out once you find stuff. And I was like, oh, that's really helpful. That's going to be really super useful to our research group, because that was one of the biggest things that you guys mentioned on the survey, was that you want to know how to take what you've learned in the research and get it out there, how to have conversations with people, how to get the word out, how to get the message out. And that is definitely one of Ashley's strengths, despite getting kicked off Twitter many, many times, as I have, as I know many of us have. So I just thought I kept getting kicked off because I'm not good at amplifying. I'm better at digging and synthesizing patterns and that kind of stuff and connecting people. So Ashley, why don't I have you talk a little bit about kind of what you did before? Like, tell us what you did before. Give us like a bio snapshot kind of summary, and also tell everybody what you'll be doing here at Cause of America.
Okay. I have been a marketing consultant for about 20 years. I've been industry agnostic. So I've worked everything from the beauty industry to the cannabis industry to just all across the board. There isn't really anything I haven't touched at this point, except oil and gas, I think. It's been a really exciting career, and I met Amy on Twitter about 2 years ago. And we've stayed in touch, and I have obviously been very, very involved in sort of this movement of truth and trying to help move our country forward in the right direction. And also a fine balance of having to stay on the down low, because, you know, I come from a very liberal background, and it's just been a really interesting walk. So I have come to Cause of America to help amplify their messaging and see if we can get out of the echo chamber a little bit and start expanding the conversation across the aisles and see, you know, how we can streamline some of that. Oh, the pup. This is Abby. And it doesn't matter where I go, she has to take my seat. So I've decided to be stubborn today and not let her have the whole thing. So, so it's nice to meet you all. I'm excited to be here and listen and learn from you. And hopefully I can, you know, share some ideas.
Awesome. And I see we have Colonel Sean Smith on today as well. Hey, Sean, thanks for being here. All right. So I thought I scared him off. He was like there and then gone. Now he's still there. Okay. All right. Okay, so I would love for whoever, you know, go ahead and put your hand up, whatever, you know, the things that we do, if you guys want to speak. But I would love for you to share with Ashley what is being worked on in your state as far as research. What are you currently digging? I know some people are working on lawsuits. Some people are, some states are preparing for the next legislative session, which in some states starts in 2 weeks, right? I know some never end, right, and go all year, but Colorado has a weirdly short one. And then also, you know, if you guys have questions for her as far as how to get your message out, or if there are like specific needs that you have, this would be a great time to share that as well. So I see Laura in South Carolina has got her hand up. Go ahead, Laura.
Yeah. Hey, hi, everybody. Good morning. I hope everybody's doing well, and I hope that you all have a great holiday season. I love these chats because it's always good to collaborate. We are all working in our own silos, and so it's nice to know that there are other people out there that are kind of going through the same thing. So South Carolina, we have a lot going on. We did a whole observation program during the midterms and also the primaries, and we posted that on our website, and we found similar issues to what other states are experiencing.
And hey, Laura, sorry, can you drop the website in the chat or tell me what it is?
Sure. And I'll drop it in? Let me do that. It's scsafeelections.org.
Thank you.
Basically did that, and we found that obviously, like other states, very sloppy, poor chain of custody, missing seals, completely missing seals from the drawers of the machines, as well as the tamper-resistant seals. Just a number of issues, and we've summarized that on reports on our website. And of course, it falls on deaf ears when you try to talk to anybody about this. They're just like, what's the big deal? Let's certify and move on. So Friday, actually, I have a meeting with a legislator and a couple legislators, actually. So we have a couple friendlies. And what they want to do is they want to introduce a bill for paper ballots in South Carolina. And so we're going to have a working session on Friday, but I'm curious. I did get some verbiage, I believe, from Cause of America on kind of what that might look like, the process. But I would love to know if there's some sort of a protocol out there, because let's say tomorrow, I don't know, I'm going to dream here, the Supreme Court or somebody says, listen, we got to get rid of these machines. We need to go to a paper ballot method. Is there a method that's in place that we could adopt that is fairly foolproof? Because we really have a lot of people that object to even that, because they'll say things like, oh, well, for years they were stuffing ballot boxes, and how do you know that it's secure, and blah, blah, blah. So our goal there is to develop a winning strategy so that the legislators as well as the citizens find it so compelling that it sells through. We want to minimize the resistance, so we want to identify any upfront kind of barriers or objections so we can adequately address them. And they want to adopt kind of a cost-effective, foolproof, and trustworthy process from start to finish that people, you know, feel comfortable about. So those are our goals there. And of course, it has a snowball's chance, you know, in hell. But we have to try, because even if we fail trying, we have them going on record as saying, I'm not for that. And I'm literally calling this bill the Enhanced Election Accessibility and Transparency Act. And with that, I want to have enhanced audits. I want to ensure that everybody is able to observe the process. I want to be, at the minimum, conducting a pilot program of hand-filled and hand-counted paper ballots in at least three counties in South Carolina. I want to make sure there's transparent chain of custody. Right now, there's nothing in our election law that mentions chain of custody. And I want to also ensure that the voter rolls, the cast vote records, as well as any chain of custody documents are all free to the public, because right now it's $2,500 to get the voter rolls. Now, we are also right now in a legal battle to gain access to the cast vote records. We've and I think our challenge really, Ashley, for us is getting out the word so we can raise some funds. We've raised about half of the legal funds we need, and we're just grassroots. We haven't aligned with anybody and no one's helping us out. We're just regular people. And so we did a great job raising that, but we still need to get about $25,000 additional dollars. And so we believe we have a great case because it's just a FOIA challenge. We're just saying, hey, we should have public access to this. You were giving us these records up until 2020. All of a sudden, just because you got new machines, you decided we couldn't get these cast vote records. What? So we really have a good case. So that's kind of what's going on in South Carolina. And the other arm is we're doing it. We want to do analysis like a virtual canvas on our voter rolls. And we also want to, you know, promote awareness so that people know about us so that they can come. And we get more people volunteering and, like we said, more people contributing to our legal case.
Can I ask a quick question? Yeah, that's amazing. I'm frantically taking notes here. Is scsafeelections.org is your organization, Laura?
Yeah, I'm the founder. I'm a regular person. I stopped everything 2 years ago. I dropped my business. I have personally put in about $30,000 of my own money at this point into just doing the canvassing and doing educational sessions throughout the state and the pull-up. We've done so much work. So yeah, it's just, yeah, we're just regular people.
Do well. That's what it takes, right? Is all of us regular people standing up. Mm-hmm. So when you say you've had some fundraising efforts, is that you allocating money into the organization, or what were your fundraising efforts in the past?
Our fundraising efforts have basically been me going to speaking engagements and trying to get people to give us funds. We have a Give, Send, Go account that we've set up. I send out a newsletter via Substack. And I also send it out to various Telegram channels to try to get them to raise money. And that's essentially what I've done for fundraising. We've done a number of educational events where I've had a statewide thing where I have special speakers come in, but we've always gone out of pocket for that. Like, that's why I'm $30,000 out of pocket, because we have to pay for the the speakers and the venue. And of course, with canvassing, I was traveling around the state. I canvassed 5 different counties personally. So I was spending a lot of my money, hotel rooms and all that, and printing and so.
Okay, that's awesome. Thank you. I'm going to connect with your site and sign up for your newsletter. And I've got some notes here. So
great.
Would love to chat, and maybe this will be an across the board thing. So
yeah. Okay. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's awesome. Laura, have you seen the hand count procedures that for paper ballots that Sean Smith put together?
I believe so. And that's pretty much all I've got. I think it's, that's what I've added to this kind of bill, at least my basics for it. One of the things, I was reviewing it with my team yesterday. We have a weekly meeting, and they were concerned about there being a like some kind of an identifier on the ballot. And I didn't understand, like, this one woman was going freaking out. I said, well, you'd be the only person that knows that. But that's able to be corrupted. And I'm like, well, it was something I really couldn't answer, because she felt that there was some kind of an identifier on that ballot that identified it as her ballot, even though it was known to just her. She felt that that could be corrupted. So that was the one pushback I had with that process.
Well, what's interesting is we're finding that that exists in a lot of states anyway. There's some kind of number or something. It's like, but it's secret, but you can track this back to this and whatever. So is it secret or is it not secret? But you had mentioned, is there some kind of protocol or whatever? And I don't know if you've read through that, what Sean put together, but it's very thorough and it's very specific.
I don't know if I have the whole thing, but I basically saw what was in the lawsuit that Carrie Lake and Mark Fincham had done in Arizona, the original one to get rid of the machines. So that was the only place I saw it. If there's a separate report or paper, I would be helpful if I got a copy of that.
Okay, since we have Sean on, Sean, was the whole thing in that lawsuit? Because if not, I can send that whole packet to Laura. I don't know if Sean's listening. Sean, you're muted.
Sorry, I just...
There we go.
The electric guy was here trying to trim my trees without... Anyway, I'm back. Sorry, I missed the question.
And your video's on, but we can't see anything. We just see, like, black. There we go.
I think I knocked it off.
There he is.
Hi.
So the question is, Laura was talking about, is there a procedure for paper ballots? And I was telling her about your hand count procedures that you painstakingly put together. And she said she thinks she saw it, but all she saw was whatever was attached to the original Carrie Lake Mark Fincham lawsuit. So I don't know that was the whole thing, right? That was like
a really old version. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, we've got a newer, the thing that I didn't get done that I wanted to do was the demo videos that would basically be both demonstrate the whole procedure so that people could really visualize what it would look like to do a precinct hand count completely under video. Just imagine this is for Laura, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Laura in South Carolina. Yeah.
So imagine yourself just clean slate. Just picture yourself at an elementary school anywhere in the country. You walk into the general purpose room and there are, you know, five round tables set up. There are cameras in the corners that have the whole room under observation for the entirety from the time they start accepting cast votes from voters whose eligibility and identity have been verified until the time the precinct count is complete. So there's no way for a ballot that's been accepted for counting to depart that video. Citizens can watch the whole video for themselves and see that every ballot that was counted was introduced via that process. Then you're seeing the counting process, and there are cameras at each table for the counting table. So there's a start table where there are boxes of ballots. There are counting tables where teams are picking up one box at a time and counting the batches out of those, completing tally sheets, taking them over to the tally table. The tally mm-hmm. table is just tallying tally sheets, and there's a finish table for the boxes. When all the boxes have gone through that process of being counted under video by duplicate counters with reconciliation right at the table under video, and the tally sheets are added up, now the judges and workers who did that counting and tallying sign off on it. The election official responsible for the precinct signs off on it, and that's it. That's the end of the election.
I love it. And it's all there local at the precinct level.
100%. You and your neighbors.
So there's no real, the only check against that is the judge that's there that then is looking at the tally sheet. And there's, I'm assuming, several people at the table. So there's redundancy.
No, those are redundancy, but the real check is that every single count and document counted is on video. Okay. So as a citizen, you can literally see every single ballot counted, what was marked on the ballot, what was transferred to the tally sheet, and how the tally sheets were added.
But not the vote is transparent, just the counting is. The vote is not. The actual casting of the vote is opaque, and the counting is transparent, correct?
So what you don't know is who cast which vote. That's what you don't know.
There's no unique identifier then.
No, I would put a unique identifier on the ballot, but the only person who should know that unique identifier belongs to a citizen is the voter themselves. So imagine if you're a voter in that precinct, you cast your vote, you go home. Mm-hmm. Hopefully not. Hopefully you're one of the counters, but you cast your vote, you go home, and you can watch the video live or review it archived and see that your ballot was counted and see that they counted your ballot marks correctly. No adjudication by anybody else.
Right.
Your votes are cast as you cast them.
And is there anything specific to the paper itself? Does it have a watermark? Does it have a hologram? Does it have infrared capability?
We have this discussion all the time. You can add, other than the serial ballot numbering, which should allow a county official and a precinct official to identify immediately whether that ballot belongs to them, was printed as part of their official ballots, and whether it's already been cast. So they should know a ballot number has been cast. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't have it associated with a voter, but mm-hmm. they should know whether it's been cast. Mm-hmm. So beyond that, anything else you do is kind of superfluous. I mean, you can put in security measures, watermarks, you know, doping of rare earth minerals, tagants, dyes, you know, secret codes on, you can do whatever you want to it.
Right.
But there's none of that will be sufficient to safeguard to against the introduction of fake ballots. I mean, you had a guy up in Canada just, I think, 5-6 years ago, counterfeited $250 million worth of the most secure U.S. currency we've ever had.
Oh my gosh.
And it, he did it, you know, at an industrial scale, and he basically got a slap on the wrist in exchange for giving them back a lot of the money that he counterfeited, because they couldn't stop it in circulation. They knew it was counterfeit, and nobody but a crime lab, like for the FBI, had sufficient resources to detect the counterfeits. You are not going to have, you know, tens of thousands of precincts in 3,000 plus counties in the United States verifying the authenticity of the ballot and the infrastructure required to do that via, you know, tagants and dyes and all that. Massive. Like if I was making that, I would advocate for it, right? So that I could sell all those devices. But then again, we're relying on technology. The correct solution is to have people vote in person and not
absentee, not mail-in.
Yeah, no.
And then I'm assuming
no
you would
on one day.
Yeah, and you wouldn't go with an electronic poll book, I'm assuming either.
No, I would have, it'd be okay for them to use an electronic device for it as long as it was county only. In other words, I would never, there was a call yesterday with some people talking about, thankfully and hopefully, legislative strategy, things that need to be done. There was also a lot of noise, like people want to tell their stories, and I understand that, but the area, the environment is desperate for strategy and coordination between the national level organizations that need to engage on federal statutes. So HABA is basically a construct for fraud right now, because it requires the centralized statewide voter registration systems, because they are not only are not secure, they cannot be secured, right? We don't have enough people in the country to do that kind of work for election systems. Mm-hmm. And because of that, because they're not secured, can't be secured, because they don't have proper auditing, because they, you know, the data in them is not reliable, and it never will be. And the people who are responsible for that do not have the skill set or expertise to defend those systems against the threat to them. So, you know, if you put all your money in one place, that's where the robber goes. If you put your money in 1,000 different places, a robber is not going to spend all their time trying to go to it. They just can't, right? It's a scaling issue. What we did was eliminate their scale restrictions for fraud. We have to reverse that by returning control of voter registration to the county level or the parish level, like in Louisiana. And what I mean by that is not that the state can't have a copy of all of it for reconciliation and comparison, and then compare between them the way a Kansas Interstate Crosscheck did, with no involvement from third non-governmental parties, right? So there's an effort right now underway with some organizations that are trying to produce what I called ERICA. It's like the conservative version of ERIC. It's all wrong. Everything about it is wrong. They're wrong about what they can do. They're wrong about collecting the data, centralizing it. We're wrong to trust anybody else with technology. I don't care who they are. You cannot control it, right? Citizens need to take back control of elections, and that means voting in person with government-issued photo ID on election day or days. I don't care if it's multiple, as long as they don't start counting until after all ballots have been cast and are on video in chain of custody. Hand count at the precinct level under video, and that's it. Auditing is watching the video or going back and look at the paper, and you can do it with a third grade education, and we will do it with citizens and no contractors whatsoever. And we don't have to trust anybody, and we won't, and we shouldn't.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. If you could, I don't want to take up any more time, but if you could just send me that process, I put my email in there, or Amy or Sean, that would be helpful. And I appreciate your time and expertise.
Yeah, Laura actually dropped the link. It's in the library, in the Cause of America library, if you just search hand count. But I pulled the link for that and posted it in the chat. So a couple other people said they want that as well. And I think Dave Jaworski had made a comment. Dave, I think hopefully, Sean, just address your comment as well, because you're right. No process is perfectly foolproof, right? And yes, they can cheat with paper. That's the point of the video surveillance, right? Yep. Is that anybody can go back and review that, right? And it's there on video. So, Laura, would you clarify the name of the act? Was it the Enhanced Elections Accessibility and Transparency Act that you're putting together?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Awesome. If anybody can't see, well, you know what, if I think everybody can see the chat today, but what I will do is in the follow-up email from today's meeting, I will also include that link to the hand count procedures. Okay. It's a PDF. I think it's about a dozen pages long. So, and then at some point, if Sean's able to do the videos, then we'll make sure that we add those to the library as well. All right, cool. Linda Rantz has been patiently waiting. Go ahead, Linda.
Thank you. Okay, so you said share and show, so I will share in a second. But to give everybody a little bit of background, I went to Louisiana in October, I think, to see their hand count system that they put together. And they call it the Cajun clothesline, so it's different, I know. And I know that they had either talked to Sean or seen Sean's version, so they'd looked there first. And then when I got back here, I started reading Missouri statutes because I wanted to see if we could do it here. And it turns out that we have a full set of statutes, full set of laws that speak to specifically hand counting. They were written in 1977. They allow us to do anything, so we don't need any legislative changes. We can start counting an hour after the polls open. So we can accomplish that task of not being able to count them all in one day. And we can have high school students as election judges and the political parties getting involved. So where we're at right now, and I'm just going to jump in and show. Let me get this screen up. Hang on just a second. Okay, so if you can see the screen. So I've started, this is a Word doc. I've started working on the document. Well, actually I've been working on it for quite a while and it's getting closer to done. I had a team out. So the statute's from 77, this goes through, there's a chapter in the back that will actually even cover and puts all the statutes in there. The forms, I'm gonna flip through real fast. I don't know if it'll keep up, but the forms for the tallying, which are kind of borrowed, Louisiana guy said we could use it. They used a baseball pitch sheet to track as they're being called. So our statutes specifically say that there's a counting judge who calls off. So we could not use what Louisiana did. And I haven't seen everything that Sean put together, but without having to change anything, we're keeping it exactly the way our state has it laid out because we can go in there. We're trying to get this in place before the April election that's coming up in about four and a half months. So it's a municipal election, it's smaller, but you can see how they would just be dabbing. It's kind of like bingo. You dab the votes as they go down, you carry it over, you get it to another sheet that summarizes it, then you get it to a total sheet. And so we have all the forms and that part of it laid out. I'm just trying to put it together for everybody to use, the tally book and such. With that being said, and I'm going to try to find the stop sharing button here. What we've done and what we're looking into, part of this, the research side of it, is that Louisiana did a great job of saying how many people they have in per precinct, per polling place. Those numbers are important because our goal is save time, save money, more secure. So the save time is what the clerks put into how much work it takes to actually run a machine election, because it's enormous, right? But what they actually have to do, and most of them don't even understand all of it, the save money. So I saw EDA came out with some numbers on what it costs to run a machine election. So we have people kind of working in those areas. But we're pushing now, so we've got the We the People groups, a lot of grassroots groups in Missouri already on board to help push this out, which is why I'm very excited to meet Ashley. When we have this done, and we will be doing our videos as well, probably within the next 2 weeks, that will train on each part of this. But our goal is to bring in the grassroots groups, train them how to be counting judges, and when we go to a clerk who may consider it, they'll say, well, I can't get enough election judges as it is right now. How am I going to get these extra people to count? Well, we just passed a law in August here that allows you to be an election judge in a county other than where you live, as long as you're a Missouri voter. So we want to put together 500 or 1,000 or 1,500 volunteers very quickly in the next few weeks who will agree to go in April and serve at other counties if we can get judge or election clerks, county clerks to switch over. So we're going to have a big push of getting the information out. It'll all be hosted on Frank's Beach and Cause of America. The book is actually going to say Prepared for Cause of America, Missouri. It's, and I don't know if you caught the number, if you could see it, but it's already up 175 pages because it's got at least 100 pages of resource material, the statutes, news articles that talk about it. It's a tool for the grassroots groups because we can't have one or two or three people try to talk to all the clerks. We have 107 county clerks. The rest are boards of elections. And so we need people to be able to speak to their own clerks and have the information, understand the process, understand why, and be able to present that information and be able to answer the questions. Because the worst thing you want to do with these clerks is go in and say, yeah, you could do this. And they go, but that part won't work. And they shoot you down in one or two questions. So that's what we're putting together and the big push to get it done. So probably the week between Christmas and New Year's, when we're not on the research roundtable call, we are going to probably do a virtual meeting. It looks like there's going to be a lot of snow coming in the country. My husband's a weather buff, and it looks like we're all getting snow here coming up soon. So we don't want to plan anything that gets canceled. So we'll probably go with a small group locally, actually counting while we're giving a presentation, and do that as a remote broadcast across the state for anybody to come in and watch and learn. At the same time, and I see Marianne's on the call too, she and I are both on a task force for one of our state senators who just pre-filed a bill. Our session begins next January, and he did the grassroots group's Christmas wish list bill. It is no machines allowed, get rid of Eric, get rid of poll pads, anything you could possibly want, he's got in that bill, which we know what happens when things get into the legislature, but we kind of describe it as he's coming in high with that bill, which helps promote what we're doing. But what we're doing down below is coming in at the grassroots level. And we don't have to change any laws, so they can't stop us from trying to push it. And we're just going to try to have these two things close in on people and try to show them how important it is to take away these machines for every reason that we all know. I don't have to preach to the choir on it, but it's just scary that people don't understand how bad machines are for our elections and what they're doing to our country. So that's it. Kind of some of that research tied into it. But with Ashley's help, we really want to figure out the best way to push this out. And we have the regular channels, but I think Ashley, hopefully, from what I hear, she's got all the greatest endorsements. We were on our call with Michelle and Melody yesterday, who said, oh my gosh, she's going to be great to help you with this. So,
oh, that's awesome. Well, thank you. And I'm going to try to gather everybody that's in this and on this call and these calls information so I can reach out to you directly and figure out a path forward.
That would be great. Yeah, because we'll be moving quickly. I don't know what your Christmas plans are, but I don't even have a Christmas tree up because there's no time for Christmas trees right now. So unfortunately.
That's hard for.
I got all the Christmas stuff up, but sleep is not happening. So. We get to pick our own priorities, so that's okay.
Yes. Hey, Amy, could I add a couple things?
Please do. Wait, real quick before I forget, though, Sean, Linda, can you send me that document? Because that looks awesome, and if it's okay with you, I'd love to put it in the library.
When yes, it's done, please. Yes. You're going to, okay. It's going to go out to everybody. Yeah,
okay,
awesome. But it's not quite done yet.
Okay, perfect. Go ahead, Sean.
I got to run and go talk to the power line guy again in just a second, but I just want to add, Linda, first of all, thanks for everything that you're doing. It's, you know, amazing. So it's been on my list for a long time to connect people doing the legislative work some of the procedure stuff is getting done. There are people working on legislation in lots of places, like Nebraska, especially. I'm working on some. I need to get everybody connected for that, and it's our intent to do it. And then to get the kind of really federal people working on the federal legislation, because that's interfering. I also want to, and this can go on the recording, I don't care, they're feckless and corrupt, but so the moment they find out that you are trying to use existing legal bases to be able to do hand counts, they'll do what they did in Colorado, which was unconstitutionally mandated. It's a long story, I can explain it. Basically, the Senate bill that was finally passed in Colorado that required small counties even to use electronic voting systems, they did that because we were starting to make headway with boards of county commissioners. What they did was unconstitutional because they required the counties to use them, and they can't do that because the counties have to appropriate the funds. It's unconstitutional in Colorado, but you know, they don't really care what the Constitution says. The other thing I was going to say, so I have seen the Cajun clothesline technique. John and I talked about it. It's basically a solution. It is a solution to the problem of how you handle multi-sided. You might need to mute that.
I got it. I muted Marianne. So
there's another thing. This hasn't come out yet, but I'll. Can I share screen? Can I do that, Amy?
Should be able to.
Share. Okay. I need to. Yeah. Let's see if we can get this. So can you guys see this? If I click share, can you see that?
Not yet. Oh, there it goes.
Yep. There it is.
Okay, so all of our ballots are wrong, right? All of our ballots are designed, two things are wrong about them. One, we have centralized and aggregated our elections into mega elections, and that creates an election card that only machines can process and is almost impossible to audit. You add in ranked choice voting and it goes from almost impossible to impossible. The right way is actually to have ballot cards. This is a sort of a modification of a Canadian design, ballot cards that are made for people, not machines, right? Human beings who are going to have to mark and read them don't get the tiniest little fraction of the ballot card space. They get very clear spaces. They can indicate with an X, a Y, they can fill it in. Nobody cares as long as there's a mark. And then, you know, we can talk about this. There'll be some kind of like proposed rules to go with it. But basically, if you mark in more than one location and you're not supposed to, you nullified your vote. Sorry, you have to read, right? That's not, we're going to adjudicate and other people get to decide what thousands or millions of votes are. It's completely, you know, untenable. The other thing is that we have to disaggregate elections so that they, you know, even if we have to do five elections in a year, if we can do the whole thing in a day, especially because it's smaller and simpler, so much better, right? And more citizens can be involved. People can take control again. The other thing I was going to say is we did a kind of a primer on recounts to support some things going on here in Colorado. And in that primer, I go right head on and attack some of the sort of fraudulent myths about the inaccuracy of hand counting by citing the actual Rice University study that they're pointing to, but incompetently or you know, inaccurately. And so that should also be available, Amy, in the library, right? That recount primer. If you look at that, you'll find the citation.
I'm not sure if that's in there, but I'll look.
One of the arguments you're going to get is that, oh, hand counting is not accurate and it's not as fast. Well, every election has proved that, you know, machine counting is not fast. And second, they're wrong about the accuracy levels. And if you do it with video and table level reconciliation, the inaccuracy in hand counting will drop to, I think, about zero, right? It'll be just so easy for any citizen to point out, yeah, they did the math wrong, and it'll just be grade school math. So that's all I wanted to say. I apologize for taking so long, but thank you very much for all you're doing.
Thank you. And Sean, I know you're going to run, but I was just going to say quickly, we actually have a statute that says when the voter on a hand count system marks their ballot, the distinguishing mark can be a mark in the box, adjacent to the box, circle the name even. I mean, it's a gift from 1977. It's the most amazing thing. There's about, I'd say, 20 to 30 statutes that give all of this. I mean, it's like the best gift you could have ever gotten. So it's we have, and but I know they'll try to take it away.
If we could just get public officials to actually follow the statutes, like you want to talk, like seriously, talking about Arizona, Yeah. Arizona actually has a statute in place that says all of their ballots have to be printed 10 days in advance of the election and available for inspection. Instead, they use ballot on demand printers. They completely violated their statute, which makes the whole election conduct unconstitutional. You can't even get them to talk about it. So it's happening everywhere, but it's on us, right? We can change it.
Right. Thank you.
Sean. Thanks, Sean. I don't see that recount. I don't see that recount primer. So if you can send that to me, I'll make sure that we get that in the library. And then I'll include a link to that for everybody with the follow-up. And don't forget to turn off your screen sharing. The other day we were on a team call and Sean was screen sharing something with us and he forgot to turn it off when he left because he was on two computers. So while we're still on our call, he's just like flaming people on Twitter. We're like, this is kind of awesome. We're like watching. We're like, also turn off your screen share. So
that's great.
I wanted to make sure we got that done too. Okay. So we have Marianne and then J&M Daily. Go ahead, Marianne. I did mute you though, so you have to unmute because you had a phone ringing. Yeah. No, we still can't hear you. Let's see. Let me see if I do it. I don't think I can. I can't unmute you. So I think you have to unmute yourself, which for me is like up at the top right. It says mic. There says camera, mic, and share. So if you click on mic.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay. There we go. There we go. Thank you. One of the things that I'm from Missouri and I'm from specifically St. Charles County. And we, like Linda said, we have a number of grassroots people, just average citizens. And so what a lot of us started doing was picking a subject, getting in front of our county council, and we would each take a subject and we would use our 3 minutes. We could figure out pretty quickly who was willing to help us and who was not. Those that were not willing to help us on the county council, we found people to run against them, and then we help with their campaigns. What we have found when we try to talk to a lot of the elected officials, you can't walk in and just say, hey, you know, there's cheating, we want it to stop. You have to start, and what I did is I kind of started at the beginning. I did research from CIS, the Center of Internet Security, showed how when you signed on for that, you are automatically put into EI Isaac and MS Isaac. And then I went into research on that and showed how when you were in those, and then I listed all the various people in Missouri that participated in that, then those guys actually are involved with all the social media accounts. So if you say, hey, 2020 was rigged, they have a process to rebut you and to remove you. And I document all of this. Then when you sign with CIS, you are also involved with DHS, Department of Homeland Security, and CISA. So you have already federalized your elections, which most people do not understand that. So you have to point that out. You can't just say, hey, the feds are in here. You have to point out how we got here. So I documented DHS and what they're doing, CISA, what they're doing. Then I documented and did research on Eric. And I did my 3 minutes at the county council on Eric, and I even was quoted from one of our local newspapers. So when you think nobody's listening, they really are. I mean, originally I thought I was a lone voice crying in the wilderness, but as we continued to do this, we got more and more people, and a Gateway Pundit comes. And so there are ways that we can do this. Then we went into EAC and then did research there. We gathered groups of us when there was a suit filed because the laboratories are not accredited and none of the machines across the country have actually been verified and are legal. So we got all of our grassroots people to file affidavits along with that. Then when the case came up, we got all of our grassroots people to show up for that case and support the person doing it pro se. And so there's a number of things we've done. We've researched Unison is actually what we have here in St. Charles County. And then we researched all the things from Missouri Secretary of State and all the officials. And we researched the laws and all of the officials that were violating their oath by not following the law. And then we presented a lot of this to elected officials and one specific senator. And originally when I started talking about this, he thought, and he even told me he thought I might be crazy. And so I created a binder for him with all my research, gave it to him, met with him, and he finally came back and said, we've got to get rid of all this. So he did pre-file the bill, like Linda had said. And then we meet, we shoot holes in it, we fine-tune it. And then in the end, you can't give a problem without a solution. So I kind of put it in a nutshell, what the problems are and how we can fix it. And then you offer it to them. And so we have to really, as grassroots people, we have to do the legwork and we have to help these people. Because if someone's willing to step forward and be our lesser magistrate and stand between us and those oppressing us, we have to help as much as possible. So the other things we're doing is when we find someone to be a stumbling block, we find people to run against them. We help with their campaigns. We've actually done probably 3 or 4 events for this particular senator. And he's also considering a run for governor. In fact, I'm going to be cooking tomorrow for another group. We have groups 100 to 300, and we organize, we cook, we do sample ballots when the elections come up to help people, and we show how we research this stuff. We even do judges, we do school boards, we do county council. And then we did have at the last election, my county council, we got someone to run against my county council person. And we were watching that as it was happening. And the person that we supported had 51%. The person we did not support had 49%. Well, guess what? The next day, it was the opposite. So the next council meeting, I spoke on the 49-51 flip. And I was very careful to say, I'm not accusing anyone of anything nefarious, but I think this is something that we need to look into. Well, it sparked a lot of interest. And so we had people on the council actually saying, well, wait a minute, who is this Edison? How did they get this information? So we have to keep talking, no matter how crazy we look, because we are sparking something within the community. And people are coming forward and saying, what can I do to help you? How can I help you? And so we do have a lot of just average, ordinary people helping us. And it's been beautiful because most people say, well, it's not moving fast enough. Well, we've been talking about this for a while, and I do see progress. I see success, but you can't sit on your couch or behind your laptop and just complain. You have to get out. You have to put yourself out there. You have to get out there and you make enemies. I mean, I'm an election judge. And as soon as our director of elections heard me speak at the council, we were speaking about the danger of out of country and all the companies that they have involved and giving our personal data for the judges out of the country. Well, he immediately stripped me from my position. But now I'm back in. I kept fighting and fighting, and I am back in as an election judge. We had one election judge that did a test run because the poll pad allowed all the election judges, it didn't show that they had voted. So they said, well, let's get together, all the Democrats and Republican judges, and they cast a ballot. Well, it went through. So they immediately called Director of Elections and said, wait a minute, we got a problem here. We found a problem. Well, he turned them over to the authorities. Now that got resolved, but we have people here willing to fight and do whatever it takes to get us where we need to be. Because if we can save our county and our state and our country, that's what has to happen. And so the senator that's working with us wants Missouri to be that shining light that they can look to and say, well, this is what we did here and it was a success. So my advice to everybody is just because you're I'm a simple nobody, I'm a retiree. I worked for 40 years, but I'm retired, but it doesn't mean I'm useless. It means I can do whatever anybody asks of me. I mean, this happened on our watch. This didn't happen overnight. It happened on our watch. I mean, I kind of went back to the year 2000, the hanging chads. That's when a lot of these entities came in. They never let a good crisis go to waste. So my advice is just keep plugging away. Don't worry about looking crazy. Do whatever you can to save our country, because if we don't, it's all over. And we do this not only on the election integrity side, but also the medical side, the medical freedom side. There's a lot of battles. There's the porn in the schools. We're fighting on that. So there's groups that we reach out to all over. And then we have some people within our groups that have radio segments, so we can get the word out there. So there's a lot of angles you can do with this. And it's amazing. It really is. So that's kind of what we're doing.
That's awesome, Marianne. Thank you. Of course, I think you just revealed, you know, the big secret of why you have so many volunteers in Missouri, because you feed them at the meetings, right?
You're right.
I mean, people not show up for a lot of things, but free food, yeah. So that's awesome. And you know, Marianne, I'm thinking too, I would love to talk with you outside of this call to have you go through that process with me, like show me that process that you show them, because that sounds like an awesome education tool that we could put together, whether it's like a succinct video or whatever. And then that Ashley could help us push that out, since that is something that, you know, not only applies to your state. That would be pretty cool.
Sure.
All right. So I'll follow up with you. Ashley, anything you want to add on Marianne's part?
I'm just so inspired. It's like, it's so great to see this, just wow. And I do really believe, Marianne, you're right in that things are progressing and we are having successes. Even just from a year ago, looking at all of this, I see so many more people standing up and getting involved, and including myself, like so much more involved than I've ever been. And I think that's what it's going to take. So thank you for all your efforts. And I look forward to looking more at your information and figuring out how we can get it out there.
Awesome. All right. J and M Daly. Who's that? You're up next.
Hi, it's Marlene.
Hey, Marlene.
Hey. I went to the select board last night to see about doing away with machines and having it put on our warrant. Got opposition by a Democrat and basically told me I didn't know what I was talking about as far as the machines go. And he actually had to be spoken to by the select chair. And so now I have to collect signatures on a petition to have it put on the warrant. And I have to have so many signatures. They're going to let me know how many. I believe it's only about 65, 70 signatures that I need to get. I don't really know how to word the petition, because I want it very clear. I want hand counts, basically, is what I'm trying to get for our town. And in the state of Maine, it goes by towns. So we have to have every town do this if they want to. I already have about, I think it's like 10 other people contacting me, asking me the process, which I don't know. I'm learning as I go. But if anybody has a well-written, easy-to-understand thing about getting rid of the machines, and, you know, maybe even not mention the machines or just say hand counts or whatever. Legally, I'm not really good on that part of it, but I would love to have anybody send me what they have used, because I want to start. I have from now until probably April to collect the signatures, but when I do it, I want it done right, so there's no, oh, well, I didn't understand that type of deal. The other thing that I'm working on right now is I just had some parents approach me about the pornography in the school. And a lot of parents did not know that it's there, because we're in the process of building a new school. And so with COVID and with the restrictions on what part of the school is built, no one's allowed in the school except for the kids and the teachers for right now. So they're putting this stuff in without us even knowing it. and we are going to go to the next school board meeting. Supposedly, with the post that I put on Facebook, the principal has gone in and taken the books out of the library. He did not know they were there, that the librarian bought them herself and put them in, and she's very much into all this LGBTQ community. And so anyways, our new school is a 6 through 12 school. Parents were extremely upset. So he left them with the superintendent. That does not mean they're out of our school. What that means is right now they're sitting at the superintendent's office to see where to go from here. I'm in contact with a lot of groups throughout the state, and I believe that's why the parent asked me what to do. So we've been in contact with, I think it's called Source of Truth in the state of Maine, and they're dealing with a lot with these issues. I'm trying to think what else I've been working on, getting people connected with Cause of America. And so that's what I have been up to that I can think of. Oh, I went to our state GOP RNC committee meeting. The person that we have in the state, I'm not in favor of, and I have told them I will run against her. She supports Rona McDaniels and stated it right at our meeting. But what I was so happy, because I can't speak because I am not a voting member. And so a person did speak up and say, are you going to poll the group here to see who to, you know, support that we want you to support, which I was so happy with because it was so hard to keep my mouth shut. And so anyways, she said, no, I already know. I work for everybody in the state, not just this group, which this group is the group that works for everybody in the state. So anyways, that's what I've been up to. We are working on trying, but they also did something which I think was illegal, not illegal, but they made the vote be on January 28th. That secures the vote for Rona McDaniels, regardless, because our state person will be in until January 28th. Before, if she gets voted out, it wouldn't be until the 28th. So that to me was a little underhanded. But anyways, because usually you vote around the 1st of January to get the person in. So all this stuff. And within the state of Maine, we found out that a lot of our Republican candidates didn't get voted in, but they also didn't have any money given to them from the state, which was they raised a bunch of money. And one part that I found directly was the $87,000 in our state that was raised for the candidates did not go to the candidates. They put it into this fund, and I'm not sure how they did this. I still got to do more research on this, but it ends up being that the House can spend that money now instead of it going to our candidates. I was talking to a woman who is in Southern Maine, and they do a lot of research on stuff, and she said, when you sent me that article, she said, we started researching. I believe right now we're close to $200,000 that didn't get spent on our candidates. So you're looking at how did we keep a Democratic governor? How did we still lose the House and still lose the Senate? Money was not spent on our candidates. And I totally believe that a lot of it is the machines and fake ballots and things like that in the state of Maine, and people will say, oh, that doesn't happen here. Well, it never used to, but I believe it's going on here as well. So if anybody has any good ideas for what I can say on that petition, I really, really would appreciate some help with that. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks, Marlene. I will ask around for the petition. I have a couple of ideas that I can ask for, or the people that I can ask. So I'll check on that. I know for the school board meeting, I've seen quite a lot of videos that were effective where the parents just stood up and started reading some of the worst parts of the book, especially since you said it's still in the superintendent's possession. You know, depending on which books they are, I'm sure it's, you know, it's a lot of the same ones that kind of seem to be making the rounds. But then when the parents start reading from those books at the public comment part of the school meeting, that's when the people on the school board are saying, whoa, whoa, this isn't appropriate, but it's in the school, so why can't we read it here? Or you show the pictures or whatever. So I think that's seems to be a good strategy for that. But I'll see what I can find out for you for the petition. I don't know if Sean's still on. Sean, do you know of anybody that has that already put together?
Well, there are probably a lot of examples that could be tailored. If there's, who's asking for that again?
I'm sorry. Marlene in Maine.
Yeah. Can you send us an email with exactly what you're looking for? I can look back through, because some of the stuff is in the library where there are things that are drafts. Like I'm working on probably five things right now that.
She's writing up a petition for her town to go to hand counting procedures.
And, yes. And that petition would go on to the warrant.
Got it. There are none that are just like ready to go, but there are some that could be examples that you could tailor. There was one here in Colorado. There is one down in Texas. There's one in Nebraska. There's one in Kansas. There's one in New Hampshire. Let me go back and look and see if I can find one of those petition examples.
Awesome. Thanks, great. Sean.
I appreciate that, Sean. And do you have the email address, or do you need me to give that to you?
I can get it from Sean. I'm going to get it from Sean because I want to make sure that those are in the library, and then I'll get that to you, Marlene.
Oh, thank you, Amy. I really appreciate that. And thank you for all you do. I love this group.
Thank you. Oh, you bet. You bet. All right. So let's go to David in Washington and then Dave Jaworski. Go ahead, David.
Hi, everyone. Okay. You ready for this, Ashley?
I don't know.
Loaded question.
A laundry list. First off, going back to Laura and bouncing off Linda. Little dirty secret that they don't want you to know. Every state, every county, every precinct, as far as the in-person voting, has a contingency plan. This was in case of a national emergency, total destruction of the grid. That's there. Sean's mentioned it, I think, before, what this falls under, but basically in the case of a national breakdown of the system, every state, every county has a contingency plan for full in-person paper ballots voting. And just like Linda posted, the 77. They don't want you to know. It's going to take some digging to find it, but it is there. Second, let's see, as far as like with Maryland, the best thing you can do is to clean house, get your people organized, get these people out of office, start at the school boards, your city councils, everything. Just start cleaning house. Put these people on blast. Tell them, we are going to replace you. We the people are going to set up a campaign and remove you. You are being judged and you will be held accountable for the decisions you make in our school boards. You are going to be held accountable for the decisions you make in regard to our county. If we, the people, do not like the decisions you're making, we will replace you. Very cut and dry, very straightforward. These are elected officials. They work for you. In regard to her problems with the RNC, the RNC in our states do not have We the People's back. They are for the National Party. They are fundraisers, pure and simple. You go for the juggler. You tell them, you start a campaign in your state, we are not going to fund you anymore. You are, our funding will go to the candidates that we choose as We the People. We will organize and send money directly to them. You cut off their funding. They panic. It's a very, very easy process. They are there, the state RNCs, to make money for the national. They, if you've noticed how they suddenly back these people that have ill will and do not respect our wishes, you simply cut off their funding. Very easy. You do not, you just start a campaign. You tell people to support the candidates that align with your views, send the money directly to them, and eliminate them from the process. And they will come around very, very quickly. Another one, this is kind of an Ashley in her wheelhouse. We would like to get some type of a campaign going in regard to all of the states that have not addressed ballot harvesting. We want to start at our level a ballot harvesting program. We want it to be loud. We want it to be boisterous. We want the other side to know that we are going to utilize this as a ploy. We are going to put it out there so that everybody sees. As soon as they see that we are going to use it in our wheelhouse and to our advantage, they will shut this down very, very quickly. Erica, what am I missing?
So we're kind of thinking that exposing some of these things to the extreme level, to where people realize how ridiculous they are, will help to, make them kind of illegal. That was the goal behind the harvesting idea. Let's see, I had a little list here. We need to do some kind of, we have a really big problem here with the recounts. Even the Stuart Holmes down at the Secretary of State's office, we've got this huge problem with our recounts. We've got to fight it, but we've got to educate the candidates somehow. We need some kind of training for these candidates, because they're just rolling over. They're like, oh, you're not going to actually recount the ballots. You're just going to look at the undervotes. Okay, that's fine. They need to fight back on this, because nobody is standing up for them and nobody's making sure that they're recounting anything or doing any of these procedures, to our standards. So we've got to get some kind of education program going for the candidates so they know what's supposed to happen and they know what options they have if that doesn't happen, kind of thing. We spent some time talking about that last night. And then let me just check my little list here. And other than that, I think I'm going to start petitioning some of our WACs, because they make no sense or they contradict other things. And then I'm still working on some recommendations to reduce risk and build trust under our current election law. That's all I've got.
All right. Thanks, David and Erica. Ashley, any comment?
I'm writing so fast. I'm trying to gather it all.
That's how I feel every time Sean is speaking. I'm just like, shoop, shoop, shoop.
As far as the campaigns ballot harvesting program, has anything been set up for that? Or is this just an idea, or what's happening?
This just kind of came out of nowhere. I know that on one of our former calls, somebody mentioned that there was a dozen, 13 states. See, the way that the way that they're getting around this is they do not address it. So therefore it is legal. Then it's guilt by omission. They don't say that it's illegal. They don't say that it's legal. So therefore it's allowed. But we've done enough, and I'm actually in the Republican Party in my county. I've only been in it 2 years, and I basically have shoved my way in and taken it over. I was asked why I wanted to join the party. The first one I showed up, I told him I was sick and tired of watching these marshmallows get walked over, and I'm here to put some teeth in the party. I said, I have a real bad attitude and I like to use it. And the little grandma that I was talking to looked at me and smiled, a big smile, and said, we've been looking for you. So I feel like we all need to live up to my expectations.
Yep, that's the exact attitude it's just no more. We can't lay back anymore. Well, I'll be interested to see what you guys raise up and how I can help amplify that and get that out. Thank you for sharing that.
Well, I'd like to get some kind of a shout out in our group so that we can organize these states. This has just kind of came to a conversation as far as we've got a research team. Actually, Eric has got the research team. I just kind of set in on it and play like I know what I'm doing, but they make me look really good. But they kind of came up with this, and in discussions, we meet every Tuesday night. Our meetings run for 3-4 hours a night every Tuesday night. So we have lots of time for discussion. But the long and the short of it is that we can to utilize their insecurities against them, to play their game against them, to kind of project their ways against them. We know how they're going to react, and that's what we want. So we're actually going to let them do our work for us. As soon as they see that we have a group effort to start pushing back and utilizing this, it'll disappear. And that's what we're wanting. So if anyone can help as far as figuring out who these states are, get us someplace where we can discuss some type of plan on this and utilize Mike as our microphone to put this out there. He seems to draw men like flies. So this opposition on these things. So, and that's exactly what we want.
All right. Awesome. All right, Dave Jaworski, you're up next. Thanks for your patience.
Oh, no worries. Thank you. I put some links in the chat, and for the person who was asking about petitions, there's a sample. There is our Tennessee voter petition that we're circulating right now. And then a little earlier in the chat, Frank Limpus of Williamson County, Tennessee for election integrity, but focusing on Williamson County and the leader of the team that found the Tennessee error in Dominion that we found in almost every county in Georgia also. He presents roughly 30 minutes, and in that we interspersed little video snips from Moment of Truth with Sean talking about the little tiny coupler that was faked that, you know, no election official is going to be able to find, and some other videos, a 3-minute testimony Sean also gave. Sean's our celebrity, as well as other comments and claims from experts, and even the Dominion head of security testimony in Louisiana when he was admitting that all machines can be hacked and are vulnerable. So we that is a presentation that is available now on Rumble, and we'd encourage you to take advantage of it, share it. When people say, well, what are you talking about? You can give them that video to watch. We're going to make available that PowerPoint deck as well. So if you want to take the material that we did and copy it and use it, you're welcome to it. And that will hopefully make it easier to create one that's specific to what you're finding in your state. We did a canvas in our state. We included some data from the canvas, just minimal amount. Our goal is really not to overwhelm people, but to say we must get rid of the machines. Frank has been presenting to several people. We offered to present to the Williamson County Election Commission, and basically we're told by the head of the commission that no one was interested in listening to it, which is an issue, of course. So we've since been taking it around to others, including county commissioners and others, so that we're trying to get it out to all the people who are potentially interested in trying to find people who are in power of any sort that would be willing to understand more. So far, the response has been incredibly positive. They've been surprised, sometimes shocked to learn this. And so therefore, putting it into a simple presentation and telling a story and having these videos to let them intellectually process some of the statements on the slides has been very, very helpful. Final point is we had invited some press out to some of the events where Frank was speaking, and we had expected that Roger Simon from the Epoch Times, who's local to our area before, would come out and be willing to write about it. We've learned that the Epoch Times, I was wondering why, if you search on for Moment of Truth Summit or anything like that on Epoch Times, you find nothing. It is because Epoch Times, as part of their settlement with Dominion, which had sued the publication, said that they won't write anything about election integrity efforts like ours. So where we've considered Epoch Times in past to be, you know, one that might present the news to everybody and help, they've proved to be useless and as much of a puppet of the Dominion situation as anybody else due to the lawfaring that went on. So that was a big disappointment. So we've got to keep the pressure up and keep going to people and keep presenting the story. We are now circulating this to any citizen that has a question, that raises a question to us, friends, family, and we just encourage you to use it to get the message out where you are.
Clearly, Gateway Pundit does not have such a deal, because correct, they probably post more than literally anybody else. So
That's it. It's unfortunate, though, because a lot of people don't, not as many people read them as read Epoch Times. So
right. You're right.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, I've been calling it Epic Times, so.
That's how I say it, too.
Is it Epoch or Epic? Epoch makes more sense the way it's spelled, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. Yeah, I'm going to post the PowerPoint up in Cause of America. I just want to get the final version, and I'll have that up there ASAP this week.
So it looks like you can, because I researched it. So it looks like you can pronounce it either way, but Epic is the more common pronunciation. So
I stand correct.
But you know what? Since they won't write about your stuff, I say call me Epoch.
Or I'm Canadian originally, and therefore Epoch.
Yeah.
And I think Lindell and Bannon go with Epoch, so I'm going with the Epoch method. So
okay, so Linda's saying Dave would love to see the PowerPoint. I would too, if you're comfortable having that in the library. I would love to add that to the library for sure.
One thing I will tell you is it's a little larger than your normal PowerPoint because it includes embedded videos. That way you could be offline and presenting in a place where you have no Wi-Fi, and it's not pulling video over Wi-Fi. It's embedded right in the PowerPoint. So when you do get it and you're wondering why it's so large, it's because all the videos are local and embedded.
Okay. And so if it's too big, then we just... the solution I got from our tech team is that we upload it to Frank's speech, and then we put the link in the library as opposed to the actual
file. So
I think though I'm not talking about uploading the video for Frank. I'll put the same link, but I think the actual PowerPoint file, the reason that would be useful to you is that way you can take it and you can modify it and make it your county and everything else, but you don't have to go and find all those snippets of video and edit them and everything else. So one thought on that, if it's too big for the library, what we'll do is we'll post a link where you can download it.
Okay, so one way
or another, we'll get it something in the library.
Okay, awesome. Appreciate that, Dave.
You're welcome.
All right. So we got about 5 more minutes. Anybody else have anything they want to share with Ashley or any questions before we wrap up? Because I got through all of the hands, but if anybody has a quick one.
I'd like to ask Ashley, after she's heard all of this, where she thinks the best methods for us to get things out, or what she kind of sees as a pathway that she's going to be using.
That's a great question. I just feel like so much of this needs to be streamlined because there's so many people doing so much work. It would be great if everybody was on the same page in every state, every county. But I mean, you know, I use everything from Telegram to Twitter to Facebook to Instagram. Even TikTok, as much as I hate it, has become quite a great platform to get this kind of information out and education. But I think I'm still learning, and I know we have this huge library of information. So I think it's just going to be trial and error to see where this information is carried and or where it, you know, sits in the echo chamber and doesn't go anywhere. So it's going to be an interesting few months, I think, you know, as far as testing this out. But I also think, you know, just as I learn about the grassroots groups and who's doing what, I think also partnering up with the people that are already doing the work, so we're not repeating and doing work and recreating the wheel, is really important.
In other words, stay tuned.
Yeah, I wish I had all the answers, but I don't.
I mean, you've been here almost a week, right?
Come on, chop.
My goodness. I've been in bed every night at 7. I'm like, oh my goodness, there's a lot to keep up with here. So, I look forward to getting, you know, brought up to speed and more involved. And certainly I'm going to gather all your names and your organizations and all the grassroots work you're doing so that I can, you know, see where that's going to land best and how we can best carry those messages.
And one thing, Ashley, this is David from Washington. If you're ever wanting, we have a weekly meeting with my team. Amy and Sean, if you guys wanted to, we've got on Telegram, we do our voice chats. You're more than welcome to jump in with our group. And we went underground a year and a half ago after our America First audit got attacked. We kind of shut ourselves down. So we've got literally probably a library full of data and information and theories. We've ran down just about every rabbit hole that exists to great extent. We've done some huge deep dives into the Postal Service. Erica is my lead, and she is incredible, the stuff that she comes up with and the things that she does. So if you're all very welcome to jump in on our meeting and just kind of pick our brains and vice versa.
Awesome. And David, Ashley's asking if you could drop that Telegram link into the chat if possible.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to jump in and listen. I spend a lot of time on Telegram. I will say it is my favorite platform right now. I'm excited to jump in there.
We have like a conference room where we do our meetings, but I can't pull it up quickly enough probably to get it in here. Can I email it to you guys?
Sounds great.
Okay, perfect.
It may be past your bedtime. We do it at 7:30 in Washington State every Tuesday night. So
it's 8:30, Ash.
Once I get broken in here, I feel like I'll be able to stay up till at least 9.
Oh, and this isn't joking. Our meetings will run for 3 to 4 hours sometimes. I have some incredible researchers. These guys and girls are very, very good at what they do. The rabbit holes that they have ran down and the things that they have discovered are incredible. I can't give them enough credit and especially Erica. Erica's my kind of shining star. It took me 3 months to finally coerce her into coming on. She resisted very, very nobly, but I finally wore her down. I actually just made her an admin and didn't tell her. She got a little annoyed with that, but she stuck around.
That's awesome.
All right, guys. Well, I see it is time for us to wrap. So thank you, everyone, for being here. I'll send out a follow-up email by Friday that has the recordings as well as the links that were posted in the chat. Thanks for being here. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and Happy Hanukkah. And I hope you guys have a wonderful holiday, and we'll reconvene on January 11th. All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.